Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Detective Comics number 358, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Carmine Infantino and Joe Giella, edited by Julius Schwartz, featuring The Circle of Terror, written by John Broom, art by Sheldon Moldoff and Joe Giella, and The Faker Takers of the Baker's Dozen, written by Gardner Fox, art by Sid Green. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go-go!
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
Can hide us away.
Hide us away.
And now it's so much fun.
What? Batman and Robin meet a new costumed criminal known as the Spellbinder. When Batman tries to capture him, the Spellbinder puts Batman into a trance. Robin manages to shake Batman back to normal, but not before the Spellbinder escapes. Meanwhile, Sue Dibney is set to unveil the paintings of a newly discovered artist at the York Art Gallery, but the artist and his paintings turn up missing. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Them in a pot, 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 pot. I took a blue snake, a green snake, and tied them in a knot, 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 knot. I took a hawk jaw, a dog's paw, and hung them on the line, 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 line. I took a horse hair, a green pear, and made a crazy sign, 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 sign. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. I'm casting my spell on you. You'll never, never be untrue.
We're having a heat wave. A tropical heat wave.
Great Zot. It's hot.
It's 94 degrees outside right now.
Oh, I thought it was more than that. No. Yesterday was 98 when I didn't walk the dogs.
Well, I just went out there to retrieve some packages that had been delivered, and I walked barefoot across the driveway.
Rookie mistake.
Oh, yeah, it was hot. And I just walked the rest of the way on the lawn. But I thought, oh, no, we're not walking the dogs this afternoon on this. If they get walked at all, it's out on the back 40.
Yes. That's
it, in the grass.
Well, they say if you can't take the heat, their paws can't either.
No, that's why I walked out there barefoot. I wanted to see how hot it was on the pavement.
God love you.
Well, I don't know what. Today did not turn out to be what I had hoped it would be.
What do you mean?
Well, I woke up after 7 hours of sleep, which yes. I love to get a good 9 hours of sleep on the weekend.
Who doesn't?
But I didn't. So I went up, I got up this morning and I took the dogs for a walk and had a nice walk. And then I took Butler for a run. Mm-hmm. And we just did a nice little 2 mile run. Very simple. It was hot. It was only 78 degrees when we ran, but the humidity was so high. It was just like nothing would cool me down. So we did that. And, of course, you know, I broke my watch band last night.
Yes.
So by the time I got the run out of the way and stretched and showered and everything, I was ready. Okay, you know what? I'm going to run up to the mall because the watch repair guy, who is a genius, he's a wizard. He's fantastic, the watch repair guy at the Valley Mall.
Yeah.
It said that he opened at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I got there at 10:15 and he's not open. And I'm like, of course he's not open. No shops in the mall open until what time on Saturday?
I don't
11,
know.
11, 11.
I haven't been to the mall in 25 years.
Well, me neither, right? So then I decided to join the mall walkers at the Valley Mall.
No.
Well, I didn't. I just became a mall walker.
Oh, so you didn't formally sign? Okay.
No. I joined. I unofficially became one of the silver sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking around, and all these olders, I'm going to call them the olds.
Mm-hmm.
All the olds are waving to each other and yelling across the mall to each other because they're all used to seeing each other. And it was so, not only was I walking with the olds, but I was also cold Just like an old person. It must have been 67 degrees in the mall or something. It was, I mean, which people would find very refreshing, but I was cold. I was literally walking, not because I wanted to, but to stay warm.
So I didn't realize that this was still a thing.
Oh, hell yes. In the
21st century.
And
they're like organized, like they are regulars?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Power walking, they have headbands on and leg warmers and things?
No. So they're walking the mall, and of course it's the Hagerstown, the Valley Mall, right?
Yeah.
Which is uneven. Like
right.
It's uneven. So like you can go through dips and little bumps and mm-hmm. everything in there.
That's dangerous for olds.
The whole thing's tiled. But like you really feel like you're walking on a mountain trail sometimes.
Right, or a fun house.
It's weird. So anyway, so I walked the mall for a little while, and I didn't feel like I was going to get, I didn't stop to, the food court was open, but I was like, no, I'm not going to go to the food court.
Not even at Orange Julius?
The only thing that was open was like the fried skewery and and something else, something that smelled very unappetizing. So I just decided just to sit by the washstand. I mean, this guy's really, really good. He's very friendly. I believe he might be Korean. Although I should look up the flag, I believe he's Korean. He might be Japanese, because the flag that he has like a little American flag and mm-hmm. then a crucifix and stuff like there. But he has like a little another flag. I think it's Korean. So anyway, really nice guy. He really is a wizard. Like you bring him anything and he fixes it within 10 minutes. He's
okay.
Brilliant. So I sat down and I looked and there were some olds sitting down. Now, I'm calling them olds not because I have anything against old people, but because you'll understand the context of this.
Okay.
So I sit down and the olds are there, right?
Yeah.
And they're looking at me and they're talking. It's a husband and wife.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me and they're talking. And they're sitting farther away from the stand that I am, but I've clearly arrived sometime after they have, right?
Did they recognize you because you're a notable citizen?
No, they did not recognize me for that. So after about so I get my phone out and I'm texting you, which you were not answering me because you must have been distracted. But I was texting a group text with you and a couple friends of ours.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they were reacting to me. So that fed me. I was like, okay, I'm not alone. I can just send them funny texts.
Sure.
I was texting them about the olds. Well, they're there. Then some other olds sat down beside them and they're all looking at the stand. And we're like within eyesight of each other on either side of the stand, right? And they're far away. I can't hear what they're talking about, right?
Right.
Well, they're talking. And finally, one of the olds gets up, the old's wife.
Yes.
Wife old's number one gets over and she comes over and she goes, did you think that it would open at 10 o'clock too? I said, yes, I did. I said, but you know, I need my watch fixed, so I'll just sit here and wait 45 minutes till this watch gets fixed, right? Or whatever it was, half hour till four. So they're sitting there talking and they're yammering away with the other olds. And then all the mall rats show up. Now, the mall rats, actually, I should prefer, these are the store runners. So
yeah.
They're shouting across the passageway to each other. Oh, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I was out late last night. I had a hell of a night, didn't I? Blah, 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 you know? So it's the Hallmark girl and the Journeys guy. The Journey sells shoes and backpacks and all sorts of stuff like that. So the Hallmark girl, he hadn't seen her for a while because she'd been working at some other store. So I'm getting all the gossip because they're literally just shouting it back and forth across the mall to each other, right? So then the guy shows up for work about 5 minutes early. He shows up at 5 to 11. Well, won't you know those olds, they start rushing. And by rushing, I mean shuffling.
Mm-hmm.
Shuffling over there. Well, I am like, I'm probably 20 years younger than them, so I'm not going to push them out of the way.
Well, I don't know why not. Your money's just as good as theirs is.
No, well, they were there before me. So I sat and the woman, the Mrs. Trump, because he was wearing a Trump hat with camouflage.
Sure.
And Mrs. Trump needed to get her watch band replaced. So
yeah.
He fixed her watch band within like 5 or 7 minutes. And I'm standing up, but not next to the counter, mind you, because I don't want to get too close to the Trumpers because I don't want to engage them in conversation.
Right.
Because I can't trust what's going to come out of my mouth.
Sure.
Honestly. So then I'm standing there, and wouldn't you know, just as the deal closes, a new olds shuffles up out of nowhere, I wasn't paying attention, and gets up to the counter and gets his battery changed before I had time.
No, that's not right.
Well, of course, the kindly Korean gentleman who runs his establishment said to me, as he was fixing the guy's battery, he goes, how can I help you? And I said, take your time. I think I need a new watch band. I think I'm okay. I said, but take your time. I'm in no hurry. Really, I wasn't. What was I going to do, right? So he helps the older gentleman. Both, but the Trumpers are gone, both of which have never spent a day in the gym, except, I mean, if they have, they definitely skipped leg days because they both had booze legs, mm-hmm. you know, those little sticks.
Yeah.
Thick upper bodies.
Yes, yes. No,
yeah. So the older guy goes, he gets his battery change. I smile to him and wave. So I talk to the guy, the gentleman who owns the watch stand. Of course, he hooks me up with a new watch band. Turns out the other watch band I had was just a little bit too short, and that's why it broke so easily. So I bought a new watch band. The whole darn thing cost me $25, you know.
It's highway robbery.
No. He did a great job, and I have brought him my watches for years. And to get a battery change, it's $10. For me to take it to a jewelry store to get a battery change, it's $20-$30.
Yeah, but they have jewelry.
Do either of us wear any jewelry other than our wedding bands?
No. That's besides the point. So go on.
So the whole experience is over. I said to the gentleman, have a great day. Thank you very much. And he said, you too. And then I stepped away and another woman came up. I'm like, I'm really happy the guy's in business because he truly is a genius. Like he is dependable. He's, anybody in the area, go to the Valley Mall. There's a guy there. It's like S&G or G&S or S and whatever or whatever. He's fantastic. He is brilliant. He will fix your watch. So as I'm leaving, this is like my whole sort of morning, like, right? I'm leaving. Oh, I see the most endearing thing. I want to cry. I'm like, it's so wonderful. There are like about a dozen volunteers with a dozen lab dogs, mm-hmm. Labrador Retriever dogs, mm-hmm. all training. They have a trainer there. They're all taking turns training. They're all service dogs in training. Mm. They're taking them through the mall and teaching them how to train. I was like, oh, this is great. This is a nice end time morning. So then I come home, right? So I have all these plans for today. I have plans. I want to wash my car. I want to straighten up the garage. I want to start taking apart that mid-century console stereo. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the heat saps
down. It's too hot to do any of that.
It's too hot. It's like, it's right now. It was miserable. So what do I do? What do you think I did?
Took a nap.
I took a nap. And do you think I set my alarm for an hour nap?
No.
No. How long do you think I slept?
2 hours.
2 hours. So now we're here recording our podcast in the afternoon. We have an event that we're going to tonight, which I'm looking forward to. But it's another Saturday, a day full of potential joy and mirth and silliness, completely sapped. And I'm fit to be tied. And it's all my fault.
Well, I have a completely different perspective.
Okay.
Recently, not having 3 jobs anymore.
Yes.
I just have to wonder if this is how everyone does it on a Saturday. Just lays around and then goes to their event if they have one or not.
Right.
It's wonderful, if you ask me.
Well, I did come home and see you. I said hello to you.
Yes.
You were playing your video game. And, I was going to go upstairs and, of course, read the detective comic.
Yes.
And I said, well, I'm going to go upstairs and read the comic, which, of course, means I'm going to
take a nap.
Take a nap, right? So then I come downstairs, and you are sleeping on the sofa in front of a classic movie of some horrible singing.
Oh, it was bad.
What was that about?
It was New Faces of 1954. It was Robert Clary and Eartha Kitt and Paul Lynde.
Oh, my
God. All making their film debuts.
They were awful.
It was not great.
No. So I sat at the kitchen island around the corner from the television room and listened to a little bit while I had some chips and a little Coke Zero to wake up from a nap. And I thought, well, I'll just let him sleep. So I went upstairs, and of course, I was reminded that my freaking MacBook Air battery problem, I haven't solved that problem yet. it's not a big deal. I just need to take it to the whatever place. And then you come up and you say, hey, you want to do the podcast? I'm like, yeah, let's do the podcast. But and this is fine. You know, it's fine. It's fine. This is total first world problems here. But like, I don't know. I kind of had planned to get some things knocked out. But boy, that heat's awful.
It's you can't do anything in the heat, Rob.
I did not correctly anticipate what I could get done in this heat. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. We cut the grass a couple days ago, so it doesn't need to be cut.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. First world problems, right?
Right.
What I really wanted to do was ride a roller coaster today. Not a giant roller coaster. I wanted to ride like some shitty street carnival roller coaster, just like, I don't know, 20 times. That's what I really wanted to do.
My father, who used to supervise the construction of shitty little roller coasters, would advise you not to ever ride one.
That's true.
Detective comic, you say?
Yes.
Would it be Detective Comics number 358, starring Batman with Robin the Boy Wonder?
Oh, no, I read 359.
You did?
No, I'm kidding.
Introducing the Spellbinder?
Yeah.
And as far as Batman is concerned, that's one introduction he'd like to buy back?
That's it.
Well, have we got a story in store for you? Unfortunately, that story is in Detective Comics number 359, but let's talk about 358.
I'm right. What about this pantaloon suit this guy's wearing?
Well, it's based on, we read in the text, op art.
Oh, I meant to look up op art, did you?
I did.
Oh, good.
You ready?
Yes, because you know I do no research at all.
Op art, short for optical art, is a style of visual art that uses optical illusions. Op artworks are abstract, with many better-known pieces created in black and white. Typically, they give the viewer the impression of movement, hidden images, flashing and vibrating patterns, or swelling and warping.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, this gentleman is wearing swatches of Go-Go Checks, which is the only thing I can recommend.
Yes.
In his appearance.
He's got polka dots and swirls and
orange and yellow and black and black, white, purple and orange and gray. He can wear a rainbow,
Sing a rainbow. That's from Up With People.
I changed the lyrics to suit the story.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't yes and you did. I should have yes and.
Holy circus acts. How does this new costume crook expect to stop us by doing cartwheels? He's already stopped batting cold.
Spellbinder was the startling new criminal's name, and spellbinding was his power over Batman. Suddenly, like a spiderweb of sheer steel, the eerie force emanating from the op-art villain enveloped the mind of the masked manhunter, gripping him inexorably in
the circle of terror. It's the witching hour of midnight in Gotham City, and a gang of crooks is just concluding a profitable venture.
This rare coin collection will mean plenty of coin for us, Spellbinder.
Trust me. That's the Spellbinder's voice. And you'll never go wrong.
Spellbinder? They literally wrote this. Here we go. Spellbinder? Who he? Patience, reader. The truth will out. Even in comic mags. Who he?
Who he?
Who he?
So at that moment, the Batmobile races by, spots these crooks outside of the antique store, and almost with the formality of a ballet, the conflict is joined. But this is a real conflict, and those are real bullets singing in the night.
And then one of the crooks says,
Spellbinder, you said you'd take care of Batman and Robin if we ran into them.
Relax, Dipsy. I won't let you down.
Holy!
Remember that recipe I made called peanut butter dipsies?
No.
Oh, it was like,
what was it?
Oh, it was like peanut butter and wheat Chex or pretzel broads or something. Oh, the kids at school went crazy for the name peanut butter dipsies. They talked about it for weeks and weeks.
Oh my goodness!
Holy circus acts! As Batman went at him, that costume crook called Spellbinder...
I can't do it. I shouldn't do the gay thing.
Called Spellbinder began turning cartwheels. Now I've seen everything.
That's Robin's voice because he's a teenager.
So this gentleman, Spellbinder, is doing cartwheels in front of Batman faster and faster and faster. That uniform is making a strange pattern as he swirls around. The strangest pattern Batman ever saw.
What is the masked manhunter seeing? Let's peer into his eyes. Close... Closer.
A clock in each eye. Batman's become clock-eyed.
Clock-eyed.
So suddenly Batman finds him atop a tall building looking down on the Gotham down square with the clock tower.
Mm-hmm.
He swings over on the bat rope. There's a crook out on the face of the clock. Batman makes it over. The crook pulls a pistol. Batman slides down the minute hand. No, the second hand.
There's a second hand on the town clock? I know it says that, but really? Yeah. A second hand on the town clock?
There's a second. This is Gotham City, friend.
Okay.
They've got nothing but money to throw at public works.
Okay.
He knocks out the crook. It makes no sound. Crook doesn't make a sound. The punch doesn't make a sound. Suddenly, three more crooks pop out. They're all about to take down Batman. All he's got, the only recourse he has to swing around this second hand. They're trying to knock him off the clock. Nothing between Batman and the sidewalk below, except 1,000 feet of air.
1,000 feet? 1,000 feet? Yeah. 1,000, that would be 100 stories.
Okay.
It's not 1,000 feet.
It's a Gotham City.
It's not 1,000 feet.
You don't know. Have you been to Gotham City?
No.
Well, then you don't know.
Fine.
Now, meanwhile, Robin's fighting these crooks all alone because you see Batman's still there. He's just hypnotized.
Hypnotized.
Robin shakes him out of his frenzy. Batman is still in his hypnotic dream. He's falling to the pavement. If he lands, as everyone knows, if you die in your dream, you die
for real.
Batman snaps out of it in the nick of time, having a panic attack of some kind.
Right.
The next day, at police headquarters, he gets a checkup from the police doctor.
In his mask, of course.
In his mask.
Which is kind of weird.
Well, he can't let the doctor know his secret identity.
Why not? Because doctor-patient confidentiality.
No, come on, friend. This is a police doctor.
Okay.
Now, Batman did have a doctor in the 1970s, Dr. Dundee, who did know his secret identity.
He wasn't related in any way to Tabitha or Samantha, was he?
Who?
Dr. Dundee.
That's Dr. Bombay. You're okay. Thinking of.
I knew who Dr. Bombay was. I was just doing a little joke. I should have set it up differently.
Nor is he related to Crocodile Dundee.
Okay, yes, of course.
This doctor looks like Dr. Bellows from I Dream of Jeannie, though.
He does look like Dr. Bellows.
Especially from the side. Physically, Batman, you're in perfect condition, but I'll tell you this. Medical history is full of cases of people who have died during nightmares caused by submerged fears. They think they're dying, and their heart stops. If you hadn't come to just before you hit the ground in your dream, you might actually have been killed, even though it all took place in your mind. Now, I have a question.
Yes.
How are the medical case books full of cases of people who have died during nightmares?
When they've died.
Right. How do you diagnose that? Because they're dead. They just died in their sleep.
I would think that, you and I could split every single stupid story hair in this thing.
But yeah.
Probably it was because they're... partners witnessed them having a nightmare, and then their partners noticed that they died.
Well, people didn't sleep in the same bed in the 60s.
No, you're right. You're right.
I forget what I was going to say now. But,
well, of course, I have severe obstructive sleep apnea.
Yes.
I have for years, and my body used to use nightmares to wake me up from sleep all the time.
Right. The nightmares wake you up. They don't kill you.
No, they don't kill me. But your heart's racing. And that's the thing that really actually can kill people who have sleep apnea, is that years and years and years of having a racing heartbeat in your sleep and gasping for air can weaken your heart.
Right.
And it can cause... That's... My grandfather died of a heart attack in his sleep, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. And he used to sleep in another part of the house. He snored so much.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't treat people for sleep apnea back then.
No. Mm-mm. If this was written by Bob Haney, we would say that you could just open up the eyeballs of the dead person and their eyeballs would have
a recorded...
Yeah.
Yes, film of, yeah. If you will, they'd be able to...
The last thing they saw.
Yes, exactly.
Which in this case would be their nightmare, but
yeah,
but it's not. It's written by somebody else.
Well, it's Bob
John
Kane.
Broom.
Bob Kane's in this, right?
Bob Kane signs every story as if he created it. He had nothing to do with
it.
Okay, he did create Batman, but his Batman had a red jerkin on, not a sleek black and blue cowl.
Okay.
In other words, Batman, it's my duty as a physician to warn you that another encounter with this new criminal, this so-called Spellbinder, may prove fatal to you.
I understand, Doctor. Thanks.
Well, Batman's not actually having nightmares, though. He's hypnotized.
He's would you say hypnotized?
Hypnotized.
Hypnotized.
Well, that won't stop Batman. He's just gonna go off and it's not the first time he's faced mental danger.
Mm-mm.
He just has to make sure if we meet again that I nail him before he can move into that trance-making trick.
Good luck, Batman.
But
of course.
Right now, I'm more concerned with trying to find him.
So he says, there are two fences who specialize in loot like rare coins. So fences are people that take stolen things and give you cash for them. You cover one of these, Robin, and I'll take the other. And he's looking at a tiny, tiny book called The Bat Book of Crime.
The Bat Book of Crime, which is helpfully labeled because it's too small to have a printed cover. Now, this is the size of
a matchbook.
Some of our elder listeners will remember Cracker Jack snacks, where they'd have a little prize inside. And
sure.
Very often it would be a little cartoon flip book or
yeah.
Joe Palooka riddles or something.
Right.
That's the size of the book we're talking about. His Bat Book of Crime.
Yeah. Now we just have him on our watches.
Literally has enough room only to tell him where the two fences who specialize in rare coins.
Unless he uses a very extra fine point pen and write and has a magnifying glass.
Yes.
And he writes it in there, but the font is large enough for him to read, but still the font is small enough to fit more information in that little book.
Maybe he's one of those artists who carve like an entire landscape on a grain of rice.
Oh my God.
Now they're going to split up. Robin's going to take one side of town and Batman the other. They will keep in touch on their two-way bat communicators. Meanwhile, to turn coin into cash.
$50,000. I can't give you a penny more, says the fence.
It's robbery, says Spellbinder, but we'll take it.
As the green stuff is swiftly divided. Spellbinder, a question. When you put Batman into one of your op-art spells, why can't we knock him off? While he's helpless, it would be a snap.
Listen to me, Doodler. Dipsy and Doodler. Those are the henchmen's names. Yeah. If we killed Batman, then we'd have a murder rap. My way is safer. I'll finish him off, but in a way nobody will be able to prove a thing. See? Except for the mountains of medical evidence that people die in their nightmares.
Right.
Spellbinder. So did you think of that?
I guess not. Well then, as if on cue, the Caped Crusader.
Speak of the devil, here he comes. Punching and punching.
Fists fly. So, Batman says, you're the next... I'm sorry, he doesn't say it like that. You're the next in line, Spellbinder.
Why didn't he take him out first?
He should have. Well, maybe the other guy was closer to him.
So Spellbinder pulls out a little kind of whirly top thing and starts spinning it.
Like a child's toy.
Yes. It's making a strange pattern.
Wait, you're missing the first...
Oh, yes. Sorry. You pointed this out earlier.
As the aroused manhunter slams toward his mocking foe.
Why is he aroused for this little twink?
Now, I'm thinking that the word aroused was definitely used in both senses, in many ways,
yes.
In the 1960s.
I hope so. Yes, in a comic written for young people.
And this is not the first time in this issue... When the writer of this comic will refer to Batman as aroused.
Okay, I can't wait. The propeller spins and again hypnotizes Batman. This is a troubling trend of Batman being hypnotized.
How? Yes, because he's supposed to be a very clever detective. It must be. It's usually harder to hypnotize a clever person than it is. A simpleton.
As I think I relayed, I could not be hypnotized during the stage hypnosis thing at my college.
It's true.
And the people that were hypnotized were, as you describe,
famously dullards.
Although, I have a theory.
You have to be willing to be hypnotized.
I was willing.
Okay.
But my theory is that the people who were easily hypnotized actually were good concentrators.
Oh.
Which I am not.
You aren't?
No. I mean, you know, in terms of like studying or reading, because I'm just naturally gifted and things come very easily to me, which is bad because I don't retain information.
I retain information.
Yeah, so are you a dullard?
I don't know what I am, because if something captures my fancy, you can't pull me away from it.
Exactly. So you can concentrate.
Yes.
I cannot. So I would say that you would easily be hypnotized.
Oh. I don't believe I've ever been hypnotized. Or if I have, I don't remember.
Ah! Rooster. Oh, nope, you've never been hypnotized. My point is, Batman should be prepared for any trickery that any criminal is going to pull.
Yes, thank you.
And yet here he's been hypnotized twice.
Twice.
In this issue. He was hypnotized on the other alien dimension with Superman a couple weeks ago.
Maybe he needs a rest.
But that's why he went on the alien dimension with Superman, to go on vacation together.
Maybe he needs a real rest, because he did go for a rest, but then they had to fight crime. They had to fight for their lives.
Yes.
Yes.
He had to fight Superman to the death.
Well, here we go into another story, the Circle of Terror.
At once, the masked manhunter finds himself hovering in the air in the Batcopter.
Yeah.
There's another helicopter has landed aboard a speeding train. The Batcopter's in hot pursuit.
He refers to it as a gyrocopter.
An autogyro.
Autogyro, okay.
Which I thought was spelled G-Y-R-O.
Where is it?
On that first panel. Auto hyphen gyro.
I thought so too.
Well.
Not autogyro.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
like gyro, a gyroscope.
Or gyro gyroloose. And Duckburg.
Yeah.
Batman lands the Batcopter. I'm glad for your sake that it's not a whirly bat, because that would send you over the edge.
That would sense me.
He jumps out of the copter. He goes after the crooks. They're firing weapons. He's punching and punching. Classic fight aboard a
moving train.
Moving train. More crooks appear out of nowhere. As muscles of steel uncoil in mighty reflexive action, he's throwing one of the criminal's heads into the whirling rotor of a helicopter.
And he says the rotoblade of that autogyro is moving slowly enough so that it won't kill this thug. Just knock him out as I hold him up its path like this. I call bullshit
yes,
on that. Yes.
It can't move that slowly unless it's just not moving and only being moved by the wind.
It would literally take the man's head off.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, this guy's slippery as a snake. Batman misses him. Tumbles off the train. Of course, it's on a high bridge.
Tosses him into the river below, which has
a whirlpool. Batman's heading straight for it. He's caught in the whirlpool. He's spinning round and around and around and around and down and down and down and around and around and down and down and down and around and around and around and down and down and down and down and
stop.
Thanks, Robin. You saved my life.
Oh, Batman, stop it. Wake up. So this is what Batman was doing. He was on the pavement spinning himself in circles. I wish we had been able to see that. I mean, did he wear like holes in his tights?
But I like,
right?
I like Robin coming along. There was no one at that other address you gave me, Batman. So I came here to find you circling around and around with your hands outstretched, like Laura Ingalls Wilder in the opening credits of Little House on the Prairie. I just grabbed you by instinct. That's strange. Just by instinct. Why didn't you just grab him to stop him from spinning around?
I don't know. I would love to have seen Batman like breakdancing, like spinning on his back.
Speaking of being manhandled, we didn't even talk about our experience last night.
What happened? Oh my God. That happened so late. Who could? Yes, of course.
So the neighbors came to our door at, I don't know, 9 o'clock, 9:30.
They were having a fete.
A birthday party for someone next door. Well, they come over.
They ring the doorbell at 9 something. Yeah. Of course, I don't know what it is. So I'm wishing I had a baseball bat, because, you know, sometimes creeps will show up to your house and ring the doorbell and then they want to be helped. And then they'll come in and break in your house and try to kill you.
Sure.
Well, it turns out to be our neighbors, who are very friendly and nice.
Yes. Anyway, it turns out, I don't know how this was all discovered, but an old friend of ours who lives in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Right. Who we really like.
Yes.
Fun, wonderful.
Has a brother whom we've never met, but his brother is best friends with the guy that lives next door.
Right.
So somehow this was all discovered. We all went next door. This guy who's never met us just grabs us up in this gigantic sweaty bear hug.
Yes.
Because it's aforementioned a billion degrees all the time.
Yeah, well, it was quite hot last night.
Yes.
And they've been drinking, and of course, we'd been aware.
Sure, we'd had a couple of cocktails too. In our civilized.
So we didn't care. We're like, but he was so nice.
I know.
Yes.
And he loves his brother.
Oh my
God.
He had so many details to share about his brother. It's his older brother that's our friend. And oh my, I was just like, I was listening to these stories, and I was like, oh, my, I don't think any of my siblings would ever recall anything in great detail about my accomplishments as this guy did about his brother.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, I was just, I was really admiring his kind fondness, his deep fondness for his brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. And the guy that we were talking with last night is like a former Marine, and he's a sheriff, you know? So it was not the kind of sort of wonderful, delightful exchange that one would think for that kind of person, I guess. I don't know.
Demographic is the word you're looking for. Yes,
but our neighbors are just delightful, delightful people. So it was so much fun. We sat around a fire pit in the heat and learned so much about our friend.
Anyway, the point is, if we had been spinning around on the pavement with our arms outstretched, he would have rescued us.
Absolutely.
Now, Spellbinders won again. He and his thugs got away, Dipsy and Doodle. And the fence that they used has also disappeared.
Yep.
Now, the police could take care of the fence. We've got to get after the gang, Robin. And they're doing something to the Batmobile.
Why did they go back to the Batcave?
I don't know.
I tried to say Batcave like we do Batman, but it doesn't make any sense.
Robin wants to know why the Doctor spoke about submerged fears being a threat. And Batman says, I suppose the answer is all of us have deep, buried fears. Me too.
That's about as much insight as he gives to Robin.
Right.
He says, but I'm not going to let us give in to those fears. Let's go. Right?
Well, I mean, we can guess, make some educated guesses of what his submerged fears are. Being an orphan.
Yes.
Gunfire.
Yes.
Bats.
Yes.
Clowns.
Heights, maybe? No, because he's always... No,
because he was 1,000 feet up in the air on the clock tower.
It wasn't 1,000 feet, but okay.
Well, yeah. Agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. Later that night, they head out on their grim vigil, hoping against hope that they would run into Spellbinder. That's too much to hope for, because that would be too much of a chance.
Well, it turns out Spellbinder is not going to just hope to run into Batman. He's going to lure him.
With fireworks. How timely.
Holy 4th of July! Yes.
Now, Batman shows up. Spellbinder is there on the street. Batman advances towards him. And unfortunately, Spellbinder has predicted Batman's path would carry him directly over the manhole cover, which has been preset by Spellbinder. That's a theater term. To pop up a fireworky pinwheel.
Right. It's a pinwheel.
With fireworks.
And immediately.
Yes.
Batman is hypnotized.
Goes into one of these dreams.
Yeah.
He's in an amusement park now. Oh, well, I guess these are Batman's fears. Amusement parks. Clocks.
Circus freaks.
What was the middle one? Whirlpools. Trains. Trains going through tunnels. Wait a minute. So this spinning barrel has circus freaks inside. Strongman, Indian rubberman, and a little person.
And a little person.
Caped Crusader launches into his punching frenzy, but his head is whirling. The India Rubberman is pulling him apart. The Sword Swallower is drawing a sword from his mouth. The little person is battering him with a slapstick in the knees.
And with his life, as it says, literally hanging in the balance, the Never Say Die Crusader notices.
The barrel is spinning clockwise, like the clock in the first dream and the autogyro rotor in the second. Always clockwise, like a circle of terror. Somehow I have a feeling if I could reverse that motion, it would catapult me out of this dream.
So finding his way to the Great Barrel, Batman grips the switch and controls it.
So I guess we haven't learned about lucid dreaming yet, because really, if you know that you're dreaming, that you can control the dream.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Batman's too worked up with his arousal and fears.
Mm-hmm.
So he runs over to the barrel. Luckily, there's a control stick, and he reverses it and pops back into reality. Yay! Now let's get Spellbinder and his thugs. A headlong attack by the aroused dynamic duo. Oh,
you
found it.
Okay, I was scanning the entire page. That's why I was quiet. I was scanning for the word aroused. It was right there.
Now, Batman is one thing, but it's going to be hard to hide arousal with Robin's bikini shorts.
Exactly. So the guys start punching.
And you know that's a true thing from the TV show.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do know that.
They wanted, what was his name? Burt Ward, whose birthday is today, actually. He's 79 years old.
Okay.
They wanted him to get one of those penis reduction surgeries.
Not a surgery, really?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Which he declined.
Of course.
Of course. But they did have to tape him down pretty securely.
So that he wouldn't appear obscene.
Shock the young people.
When his bikini shorts is Robin.
Right. So they punch and punch and punch. Spellbinder's knocked out. After cell doors have closed on Gotham City's latest costumed criminal and his cohorts, they get all the information on Spellbinder. He was an art forger who discovered the trance-making effects of modern op art and decided to use his talents in direct and spectacular crimes.
Wow.
Now, they had him on the ropes for a while, but Batman shook off that last spell and put him away for good.
I hope you haven't forgotten, Robin. We have one more go-around with op art to take care of.
They have a function to go to as well.
They do, just like us. The next day, Bruce Wayne and his ward Dick Grayson accompany Alfred the butler and Dick's Aunt Harriet to an elaborate op art exhibition.
I always forget that Aunt Harriet is in these comics at the
present
moment. She's
always drawn to look like a matronly woman.
Yes.
Hair up and frilly collar.
Not a fun society gal like Aunt Harriet on the television program.
No.
She is enjoying this op art exhibit immensely.
She says, I don't know why you aren't enjoying it, Bruce. And he says, let's just say it hurts my eyes, Aunt Harriet.
Dick says, I hope it doesn't give any of us bad dreams, Alfred.
Says, my sentiments exactly,
Master. What is wrong with Alfred's... Look at him.
Crazy eyes. His eyes are,
is he hypnotized?
He's been looking at the op art.
So, oh, true.
Apparently, we haven't said this yet, op art is, or if you will, art... is the theme of this entire issue.
Yes. How? I wonder if that was intentional, but it's not the same writer, so...
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding.
No.
Huh.
I mean, it's the same editor, so maybe.
Maybe they put the two stories together, because we have a story about the Elongated Man.
Yes. Let's play his theme song right now.
Yay!
Elongated Man, universally beloved, not hated man. His heroic destiny was fated, man. He's the Elongated Man. Ralph Dibny was a circus fan, especially of the India Rubber Man. When he drank Gingold like they all did, he became elongated. Elongated Man, universally beloved, not hated man. His heroic destiny was fated, man. He's the Elongated Man. He's the ductile detective, the stretchable sleuth. Got a nose for trouble, and that's the truth. Goes all over the world with his wife, Sue. They solve mysteries and have fun, too. Elongated Man, universally beloved, not hated man. His heroic destiny is fated, man. He's the Elongated Man. He's the Elongated Man. He's the Elongated Man. He's the Elongated Man.
You like paintings, you say?
Sure.
You want to browse for a while in an art gallery?
And, well, don't pick the York Art Gallery, because all that's on display there are a dozen empty picture frames. How come, you ask? Well, that's the very question the incomparable Elongated Man also asks as he and his twitching nose set out on the trail of...
The Faker Takers of the Baker's Dozen. I wonder how many artists have made millions of dollars displaying empty frames in art museums.
Who knows?
I'm sure I've told the story of my friend who had a friend who was on the board of the Toledo Art Museum and had a distaste for modern art. So he took a piece of sheet metal and put it out in his garage and just put paint cans on top. here and there. So
splatter paint around.
Splatter paint and made paint can rings. And then he snuck it into the museum one day and hung it up.
Uh-huh.
And nobody noticed.
Oh, my goodness.
Piece of old garbage out of his garage.
Shall we?
Yes, an expectant hush falls over the York Art Gallery. Is this York, Pennsylvania, I wonder? Home of the York Dumbbell?
The York Dumbbell?
Yes.
The York Dumbbell. You mean like York, the dumbbell maker manufacturers?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
An expectant hush falls over the York Art Gallery. Sue Dibney's hand tenses on a drawstring to think. Artist Peter Baker is my very own discovery. What a thrill to be the one to unveil his masterpieces to the world.
Someone says, where's Peter Baker?
I want a shot of him posing in front of his baker's dozen paintings.
He, must have been delayed. He's a European, you know.
Oh, European. Oh, oh.
And, this is his first time in York City. Perhaps he got caught in a traffic jam.
Well, it's past 10 o'clock. The time set for the unveiling. You know Europeans and their timekeeping.
Mm.
He's probably got jet lag or something. Unable to delay any longer, Sue yanks on the drawstring and...
Well, for Pete's sake, those frames are empty. Baker's pictures have been removed.
Oh, Ralph, what could have happened? I was so happy, and now how humiliating.
How mystifying. There were to be 13 paintings, a baker's dozen, but there are only 12 empty frames. Where's the 13th, and where's Baker himself?
Look at his nose going, it's twitching.
Oh, it's
twitching.
He's
got a mystery.
Stop asking questions and do something, Ralph. Follow that twitch-happy schnozzola of yours. Go find Peter Baker. Find out why he did this to me after we paid his passage to America and found a house for him to live in. And
yes, dear, right away, dear.
So they, well, we know that Sue is, comes from money. So.
Yes, of course.
And, of course, he's made a fortune in the circus.
Seconds later, Ralph is out on the street hailing a cab.
Well, first of all, he's stretching out of the art gallery with his limbs all akimbo coming out of his clothes.
Why didn't he just walk out like a normal person?
Because he's not normal. He's the world-famous elongated man.
He doesn't have to be elongated man every single moment of the day.
Well, he's on a case now.
He can walk through a door like a normal person.
You don't know. He gets into a taxi cab, then decides to change into his costume, and he gets into a traffic jam, and...
He gives the cab driver $10 to say, take these clothes to the gallery, Mrs. Dibney at the York Art Gallery. He's in costume, and he is just walking over all the traffic and shaking hands with people that recognize him.
His costume is back to the familiar red and black. I believe last issue it was colored yellow for some reason.
Okay.
This is a nice detail. Carmine's frozen pizza.
Carmine Infantino?
Carmine Infantino, who did not draw this story. He does usually draw, but we have a guest artist.
Where do you see Carmine's frozen pizza?
In the top panel there with the traffic jam. The truck. The green truck.
Oh, good eyes.
Elongated man makes his way out of the traffic jam and look at the delighted populace of York City. How's the air up there, elongated man?
Ha ha ha, give my regards to Hawkman if he flies past.
Beep, beep,
beep, beep.
They
beep,
sure
beep.
Are happy citizens.
Traffic!
Soon, out at Artist Beach, where the York City Brush and Palette set lives.
Oh, God. Artist Beach, so it's a, it's a little colony of artists.
But they, is it? Because they had to rent this house for this
guy.
Who knows?
Artists called Artist Beach. There must have been some famous artists that lived there at one point.
Probably. Now, he gets to the cottage that they rented. The door's opening. Ralph assumes it's going to be Peter Baker, but it's not. It's criminals. They have a painting rolled up, which they've obviously stolen. They got to get the painting to the boss. They'll take care of elongated man, but first you have to connect your fist to his face, and that's hard to do when it's wiggling around like a worm.
Good luck with that. Well, he makes quick work of them, kind of, but they all get away.
He turns his
nose.
Well, this is a famous elongated man first. A nose noose. He turns his nose into a noose.
That's gross.
And lassos one of the crooks. The crooks get top style points, by the way, for pinstriped suits and derby hats.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't understand how this crook gets away.
I don't understand how he lands so many good, solid punches and headbutts to these guys, and they all get away.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe if he was busy using his hands instead of his nose.
Well, one of the things he does do on the next page is that one of the crooks gets out and he trips, Elongating Man grabs his foot and trips him.
Yeah.
The guy shoots his gun.
Yes.
Which hits a weather vane, which snaps the metal. As Ralph Dibny comes out after the guy, the weather vane strikes him on the head and knocks him unconscious.
Right. How?
Right. He has, unless his ductile properties are controlled through mental processes, at which point he would not have been thinking about his brain being prepared to be hit by something. His head being prepared to be hit by something.
But,
right?
You would think it would be the opposite.
I would think it'd be reflex.
He would have to concentrate in order to stay not stretchy.
No, that'd be like having to concentrate to breathe.
Well, but he gets his powers by drinking gingled extract, which would indicate to me that it would be in effect all the time.
So it leaves us a mystery.
I'll say how my nose is twitching now. And he wakes up and it feels like his finger's getting pinched.
Yeah.
No wonder his finger hurts. It's been stretched out to wire thinness and cars are running over it. Wow. He deduces that his finger was somehow attached to the criminal's getaway car.
Yeah.
And he follows it across town with every other car in town running over his finger continuously.
And, yeah, instead of bringing his finger to him, his fingertip back to him, right. He goes to his fingertip.
Right. Smart.
Mm-hmm.
They bring the painting back to the boss. They also have Peter Baker.
The kidnapped. Actual artist.
Yes.
Who's, at first I thought, what's going on here? But then we realize that Peter's being held captive.
The boss, we know he's evil because he's smoking a cigarette and he has John Waters' mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Applies a solution daubed cotton swab to this stolen painting, wipes away part of the, what we now learn is an imitation Peter Baker painting. And there it is. It's underneath this phony Baker painting, a genuine Titian masterpiece.
Titian. I took art appreciation. Titian.
Oh, did you? So did I. I was an art major for one semester.
It was Titian. No one says Titian.
I do.
Ugh. Okay, go ahead.
So he's a smuggler. That's your game. You stole one of my original paintings, copied it over that Titian masterpiece, put it back with my other paintings so you could steal it once it got safely through customs. You're art fakers. They're faking.
You're right. You are. We are faker takers of your baker's dozen.
We intended to. This is Vincent Price, isn't it?
Yes, I was trying to do Vincent Price.
We intended to steal it back after you landed, but you crossed us up by delivering it immediately to the art gallery director who met you at the pier. Since he had a couple of armed guards with him, we didn't dare risk taking it at that point.
I sent the boys to the York Art Gallery to steal that forged painting last night. When they couldn't find it, they got confused and cut out all the paintings, leaving empty frames.
They didn't find it because while I was helping the director set up my canvases, I saw it was not my work. I discarded it and hung up the remaining 12. I took the forgery to my cottage and left it there. After bringing me here and threatening me, I agreed to tell you where it was. Now that you have your smuggled masterpiece, let me go!
You must be kidding. You know too much about us. I can't let you walk out of here alive.
What? You can't do what? Well, here comes the elongated man stretching out of the air conditioning window unit. He's got a thing or two to say about that.
Slams. I love that picture. I love that frame of him going through the window unit.
He slams the boss's head into the ground. Mm-hmm. The other crooks try to get away, but Ralph's a step ahead of them. He finally uses his hand to slam their heads against the door and then karate chop them and pound them down and trip them and all kinds of things.
He finally ends up bundling them both up, full four of them up, with two of his hands wrapping around all of them and bounces their heads together to knock them all unconscious.
Classic Ralph.
Yeah.
Bravo! Later, at the York Art Gallery, where the Baker's Dozen exhibit has become a dozen by Baker.
The publicity given the smuggled Titian and your part in it has made you famous, Peter.
Indeed it has. I've sold every one of my paintings on exhibit, and I've been commissioned to do many more, thanks to you both.
He's supposed to be European, Bob.
Yeah, he's from Croatia.
Okay.
You discovered me, Sue, and your husband, the elongated man, recovered me.
Ouch. You make worse puns than I do, Peter.
Ha 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 Well, things really wrapped up nicely this
didn't
issue,
they?
But I didn't like either one of these stories, I have to be honest.
I'm always happy when a little adventure with Sue and Ralph.
Don't get me wrong, I'm extremely fond of both Sue and Ralph.
Yes.
I don't like Sid Green artwork on this particular character.
Agreed.
And I did not like the Batman story. I'm not a fan of Batman being hypnotized.
Oh, no.
Unless he hypnotizes himself, which he has done.
Yeah, yeah.
For his own purposes.
I have a hard time believing that Batman could be that hypnotized that easily.
Same.
Yeah.
Never happened.
No.
Well, as I said, the exciting story is coming up in Detective Comics number 359, but you're just going to have to wait a few weeks to get to that.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the introduction of Batgirl.
The introduction of Batgirl?
The new Batgirl, yes.
Wow.
I know, girl, I know.
Wow.
It's all happening during the Go-Go Check era.
Okay.
You can find us on social media at Go-Go Check Pod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can hear us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, mm-hmm. monthly.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us right back here next week.
Right.
With, here's the bad news.
What?
It's going to be Scooter or Bob Hope or something.
God, I'm going to have to prepare myself for that.
Yeah, gird your loins.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but that's all right. Now that I know,
yeah,
I'll be ready for it. I'll do
sure,
some research.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Bye.
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
We'll keep us sailing along.
High in the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone, come on.
Guide us.
When you're beside me, we can fly.